Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we begin to study the 16th chapter in the book of Job, in which Eov opens his response to Eliphaz's second speech. Eov starts his retort to Eliphaz with open disdain. Shamati ka'ele rabot, menachamei amal kulchem. I've already heard many such things. You're all sorry comforters. Eov heard such platitudes even before calamity struck. In fact, as indicated in the fourth chapter, Eov used to regularly comfort mourners, where people came to console the grieving families and unwittingly pour salt on their open wounds as they try to explain why their loved one died. In describing such pitiful consolations, Eov uses the word amal, which often indicates tedious and hard labor, to indicate vain and even malicious words. Sfona points out that Eov is provoked to anger by Eliphaz, who, in the guise of offering consolation, vividly described the horrors that befall the wicked, as if that would spur Eov to repent or perhaps find comfort by comparing his fate to others who are suffering a worse fate. Eov then admits that he too may have employed such tactics and wishes he could be in his friend's shoes, offering them consolation with trite theology, as he says in verses 4 and 5. גם אנוכי ככם מדברה, לו יש נפשכם תחת נפשי, אכבירה עליכם במילים ואני עליכם במו ראשי, אמיצכם במו פי ונית שפתי יחסוך. I could or would say the same things if you were in my place. I could spout off criticism and shake my head at you. But if it were me, I would encourage you. I would spare your grief with movements of my lips. Eov mocks the gestures of commiseration, the facial expressions of shared sorrow, recognizing that he also engaged in such theatrics when consoling those sitting Shiva. However, now he has been transformed into a miserable target for the pity and the scorn of man and God, and humiliated by his condition and furious with his undeserved losses, he says in verse 9, Apo taraf v'yistameni, charak alav b'shinav, tzori yiltosh einav li. He has torn me in his wrath and hated me. He has gnashed upon me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his eyes upon me. Eov does not name the enemy that has persecuted him, and aptly, though unknowingly, describes the Satan, who is responsible for the terrible trial he must undergo. Ralbag interprets this verse as a complaint against God, who must hate him, for he has transformed Eov from a respectable leader in his community to a subhuman, a target for everyone's derision and mockery. Eov veers from blaming the unknown adversary and lashes out at his friends in verse 10. Pa'aru alai b'fihem, b'cherpa hiku l'chayai, yachad alai yitma'alun. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek scornfully. They gather themselves together against me. God has allowed Eov to become the target of moralistic scorn, as his friends have come to believe that Eov must deserve his agony. Yasgireni el avil ve'al yedei reshaim yirteni. God delivers me to the ungodly and casts me into the hands of the wicked. It seems that Eov, unwittingly, has uncovered the truth. Hashem has allowed the evil Satan to destroy everything Eov cherished and then smote him with painful disease. Sphonos suggests that Eov was or has become a dualist, and in this verse accuses the good God with handing him over to the evil God, who then turned him over to the hands of the wicked, the thieves and murderers who stole his property and killed his children. Rashi, on the other hand, interprets the phrase Yedei Reshaim Yirteni as the wicked hands of his friends who were purported to console and heal Eov. Yirteni is not found elsewhere in the Tanakh and is a matter of dispute among the commentaries. So Rashi presumes it is related to the noun retiyah found in the Talmud, where it means a bandage. Eov then describes his agony, exacerbated by the incriminations that his friends cast at him, as he employs powerful poetic devices, particularly lashon nofel al lashon, alliteration and pointed puns. His verbs use repetitive sounds for emphasis and for irony and onomatopoeia. In verse 12, he describes the move from serenity to being shaken by a bombardment of catastrophe. Shalev hayiti, vayifarpereni, ve'achaz be'orpi, vayifatzpitzeni, v'yikimeni lo lematara. I was at ease, and he shattered me. Yes, he has taken me by the neck and dashed me to pieces. He has also set me up as his target. The English translations cannot begin to capture the emotion expressed by the sounds of the pei and fei. Vayifarpereni, followed by vayipatzpitzeni, which sounds like a hailstorm or a barrage of bullets that becomes ever more relentless in verse 14. Yifritzeni peretz al pnei faretz, yarutz alai kegibor. He breaks me with breach upon breach. He runs at me like a warrior. He then proceeds to describe his reaction at the onslaught of calamity upon calamity in verses 16 and 17, as he is unconsolable, knowing that his suffering is undeserved. Panai chamarmeru mini bechi, ve'al afapai tzalmavet, alo chamas bekapai, utfilati zaka. My face is reddened with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death, although there is no violence in my hands, and my prayer is pure. Eov cries out to the heavens for some vindication, declaring emphatically that he needs no mercy, just justice, for his prayer is pure. Rashi elaborates that Eov is addressing both God and his friends, who know full well that he had never cursed or harmed them or others. And then, in a heart-wrenching cry, Eov reminds us of Yirmiyahu's lament in the book of Eicha, in what may be the most famous verse in this book. Eretz al techasi domi, ve'al yihi makom lezaakati. Earth, do not cover my blood. May my cry never be laid to rest. These words were incorporated into the Yiskol prayer for Jews massacred al Kiddush Hashem and for the 6 million victims of the Shoah. This idea is expressed in Av HaRachamim, recited before Musaf on Shabbat, which was composed in the 11th century to commemorate the slaughter of entire Jewish communities in the Rhine Valley during the First Crusade. It is a call for vengeance against the perpetrators of such atrocities, and demands that the bloodshed not be forgotten or erased from the annals of history. Eof's cry reverberates with the notion that there is a covenantal bond between humanity and the earth from which Adam was formed, the soil which would reward humans with life-sustaining food. You will recall the earth was put under the dominion of mankind, as David sang in the 115th Psalm. Hashamayim shamayim lahashem, v'haaretz natan livnei Adam. And man was supposed to cultivate and preserve the earth, and the earth, in turn, would sustain human life and civilization. Unfortunately, man made the earth into his accessory to crime, and consequently the earth was cursed because of man. Cain, who committed the first murder, used the earth to cover up his crime, and Hashem told him, Kol dmei achicha zoakim elai min ha'adama. Your brother's bloods cry out to me from the soil. Repeatedly, the Torah warns us not to abuse or defile the earth. In Eof's case, the reference to Aretz is not only the land in which the dead are buried and their blood is absorbed. It refers also to human civilization, and his cry is directed at supposedly civilized human beings who are inclined to whitewash, forget, or excuse senseless brutality, turning a deaf ear to the cries of the oppressed and the tortured. He does not blame God for the fact that wickedness prevails with impunity on earth. The fault lies only with human beings who use the earth as an accessory to hide the blood and the ashes of the murdered innocents. So he turns to the heavens to plead his case in verses 19 and 20. Gam ata hine bashamayim edi vesadi bamromim. Even now my witness is in heaven, my advocate is there on high. Finding no support on earth, he turns to the heavens, quite unaware of what we, the readers, know. And then he turns back to his friends in verse 20. Militzai re'ai el eloka dalfa eini. According to Mitzudot, this verse should be translated as, my friends, who were meant to intercede for me, scorn me. So I pour out my tears to God. Kaminka suggests Militzei Re'ai are the true friends who have predeceased him. They will be Melitz Yosher and will advocate and testify on his behalf in the heavenly court. He can no longer rely on the friends that are still alive. In the closing verses of this chapter, Eof once more expresses his hope for a chance to prove his case before he dies. Ve'yochach legever im eloka, uven adam lere'ehu, kishnot mispar ye'etayu, ve'orach lo ashuv e'aloch. I need someone to mediate between God and me, and between a man and his friends, for soon I must go down that road from which I will never return. Eof wants his vindication not only in the heavenly court after his death, but also among his friends and those who read and study this book. All must learn to acknowledge the reality that there is tzaddik veralo, even if we cannot explain the whys and the wherefores. To blame the victim is to assassinate his reputation. Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman,
Rachel Rochel Bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo Alehen HaShalom.